Well, I want to let you know that I can tell when there's been spiritual things happening in our church and in our body. Because when these altars get full like that on a Sunday morning, we know that God is doing a work. But I tell you, there's some groundwork that's being laid. There's some groundwork that's being laid. And I want to encourage you that if you've not been to 68 Powell Drive yet, that you make tonight some ground foundational work by going there for prayer. It's interesting because we really don't have a structure except that we're just spending time with God together. There were 10 of us on Friday night gathering, and I'm still feeling the aftershocks of what God was doing that night. I tell you, nobody could deny that the presence of God was there. And I got to tell you, when we start seeking the things of God, things happen. Things happen. And sometimes things that happen, we're kind of like, that's kind of freaky. But you know what? I'll tell you something. When God's super hits our natural, something supernatural manifests. Now, it doesn't always have to, but sometimes it does. Sometimes it can be a speaking gift. Sometimes it can be a healing gift. Sometimes it's a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. Or sometimes God is dealing with us something so inner that our bodies just can't handle that surge of power, and it shakes a bit. And that's fine. That's fine. As long as we're not shaking for show. We're shaking because God is stirring in us, right? Kind of like when you get stirred at a sporting event, right? You don't just sit there, and if you do, you're lame. But I'm a very expressive person, and I get up onto my feet when my team's winning, and I get a little expressive, and that's kind of what happens when we praise the Lord, is we get expressive. And so if you've not been out there, 7 o'clock, mark it in your calendar tonight and come and pray. I dare you to just stay 1 hour. But I'll tell you, God is doing a good thing, because that's where the foundational work happens, is in prayer. We are a church of prayer. Do you realize that this building was built because of prayer? Did you know that in the 70s, early 70s, they were going to close? Well, it was called the Full Gospel Church. They were going to close it. They had a big district meeting, and at one of the district meetings, they said, well, we're going to close the work in Lac-Da-Bonnie. And a pastor got really stubborn, and he says, not on my watch. And him and his wife and their kids moved here, and one of the first things they started was prayer. That was Alex and Marge Nyssen. And they came here, and they started praying. And then what happened is they prayed, and things started happening. Things started happening. They had to build onto their church. And then it got to the point where they were probably having to add on again, and they're thinking, well, why don't we just build brand new? And that's what they did. After, I think it was about a year of prayer, they prayed. And then in the spring of 1983, they put the shovel in the ground. They'd moved the old building off of this property. They moved the building off of this property, and then they constructed this building. That started in May. By December, I believe it was about 18th, somewhere around there, December 18th, their first service in this building took place. Come on. God can do some amazing things. Amen? And this is what I said on Friday night, is that if Jesus can do, change the world with just 12 people, with those 10 people showed up, I wonder what we could do in Lac-Da-Bonnie. Right? Amen. Amen. Well, that's not part of my sermon. That was for free. I want to tell you a little story. A police officer was on patrol, and as he was driving along the freeway, he noticed a car that was going particularly fast and not quite straight. and they were kind of weaving a little bit. And so he pulls up alongside with the lights and the sirens. And obviously the person in the driver's seat wasn't paying attention. Maybe she didn't have her hearing aids in or was just too distracted or whatever. And he sees her and she's knitting. Knitting. She wasn't doing her makeup. She wasn't on her cell phone. She was knitting, right? And so anyways, the police officer, you know, gets his CB and onto his loudspeaker and says, "Pull over, pull over." And she says, "No, no, it's a scarf." Dun-dun-dun. Shh. Peyton, you're never allowed to knit in my car. I do like scarves, but please pull over first. We live in a fast-paced world. We live in a fast-paced world of instant society, and we have such things as instant coffee, which aren't that great, but I kind of enjoy it. The Keurig, you know, I can have a quick cup of coffee anytime I want. We got microwave ovens. We've got fast food. We got high-speed internet, or so they say here in Lactobonnie. They've got fast cars and online banking, instant credit, computers with flash memory, and smartphones, and the list goes on and on and on and on. But and speaking of fast, did you know that Formula One engines rev at approximately 18,000 RPMs? Did you know that? 18,000. I don't even have that on my odometer on my car, right? I think mine might redline in our Toyota at maybe 7.5 RPMs, but this is 18,000. That's 18,000 revolutions per minute. That's some serious power under the hood. And some of these cars are flying around the track at breakneck speeds of over 200 miles per hour, depending on what circuit they're at. But you know what else revs at high RPMs? We do. In order to meet the demands and expectations of everyday life. And before our feet even hit the ground in the morning, our engines are so revved up. You know, we're revved up with the demands of family, work, school, ministry, and even those expectations we put on ourselves. We're consistently redlining our internal engines. And like any engine that's running at full tilt all the time, we too are prone to breakdown, burnout, and that. And so instead of us being master over our schedules seem to be the master over us, and we tend to say things, "I wish I had more time," or "I wish I could take a break. I feel tired and exhausted." And when we take a break, our mind still races on the things that we still are needing done. Unfortunately, one of the areas that we can that take a big hit in our life, and because the demands of life seem so busy, one of the things that we end up taking a break from is our devotional time with God, our quiet time with God. And it's in those times where we can be still with God, right? We don't have time for this anymore. Times to align our spirit with His, we don't have time for that anymore. Times where we found peace and tranquility, well, we just don't have time for that anymore. And times where we're surrounded by His presence and we feel His presence. Time when our soul can be refreshed, restored, and refilled. And when we don't slow down, our lives can become easily unhinged. And our internal engines overheat, burn out, and break down. And sometimes in our lives, our lives come to a screeching halt. A screeching halt, an uncontrolled stop, an unexpected stop. Today, I want to share with you about slowing down so that we can enjoy God's presence in our lives. I'm pretty sure that everybody's familiar with the anti-lock braking system, ABS, which was designed as an automobile safety system that allows the wheels of a motor vehicle to maintain tractive contact with the road surface while braking, preventing the wheels from locking up and avoiding an uncontrolled skid. Though it increases the stopping distance of the vehicle, the design was to give improved control for the driver while braking. Peyton and I saw firsthand what an uncontrolled skid looks like. We were driving back one Black Friday, and we were coming up Old McPhillips Road, and I believe it's Poplar Road is the side road, and it was really cold and all of that, and though Peyton had the day off school, Selkirk didn't, and there was a group of young girls in a little Honda Civic. They were off to school. I could tell they're probably running a little bit late. And they came, and all we saw, this is what we saw, was their car jet out into traffic, take a sharp turn, and head on with another oncoming car. And it was the scariest thing we'd ever seen. And both of us looked at each other and said, did that really just happen? So we pulled over and everything, made sure that everybody walked away from that incident. Praise God. But I'll tell you something. When I looked down that road that these girls had come from, I saw a skid for about a quarter mile. Just a hole, because you could see the shiny tread marks of them trying to put on the brakes. And you know what they were doing? She was going to end up in the ditch, so she had cranked her wheel so much so that when she hit dry pavement, it turned almost 90 degrees into oncoming traffic. You see, when we're in an uncontrolled skid, our lives can come to a crashing halt, and sometimes it can be devastating. When it comes to spending time alone with God, we need to apply the anti-lock brakes in our lives. Psalm 46, verse 10 says this, "Be still and know that I am God." Fast and furious or sporadic time spent with someone does not cultivate a meaningful, heartfelt relationship. We can only know God when we take time for God. Unfortunately, sometimes we don't have those meaningful conversations because we've bought into this instant gratification. In order to receive God's fullness, his blessing, the abundant life that he promises to give us, we've got to make our time with him the most important appointment of the day. And the only way we can do this is by giving him our undivided attention by slowing down. Now, for some of us here today, it's time to reduce your speed. It's time to reduce your speed, because if you don't, it will affect you physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And it might cost you more than you were willing to give up. Here's a few things to ponder. Where does the still small voice of God fit into your hectic life? When do you allow him to lead, guide, correct, and affirm you? And if this seldom to never happens, how can you truly lead an authentic Christian life? What is authentic Christianity? Well, I'm glad you asked. Authentic Christianity is a supernatural walk with a living dynamic and communicating God, meaning that the heart and the soul of Christianity is learning to hear God's voice and developing the courage to do what he tells you. Authentic Christians have meaningful relationships with the Lord, a relationship that is nurtured daily. It's nurtured daily. Psalm chapter 1 in 2 and 3, it says this, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yield its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, he prospers." Right? So how do we slow down? How do we apply the anti-lock braking system in our lives? The key ingredient to authentic Christianity is time. It's like with anything, time. Time will tell. Right? Quality time. For those whose love language is quality time, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? Quality time can mean all sorts of things, right? It's about being together. being together. We've done a lot of premarital counseling, and it's amazing on how many actually wives desire quality time. We just did one for one couple, and it was amazing that both of theirs was equally quality time. And we thought, wow, that's good. That's good. That's really good, right? So what does this quality time involve with God? Time for contemplation, meditation, and reflection. Unhurried, uninterrupted time. This morning, I'm going to share with you three steps that I've learned from a book that was published back in the 1980s, greatest dedicate ever, titled Too Busy Not to Pray. I don't know where you're at in your faith journey, but if you're interested in drawing near to God so that he'll draw near to you, then I believe these steps will be of great benefit for you. The first step to in slowing down, or as I like to call it, RPM reduction, is journaling. There are no better ways to track your spiritual journey than writing down your experiences, observations, and reflections. This enables you to look behind the events of the day for their hidden meanings and recording ideas as they come to you. History was recorded because someone felt it was important to document it and write it down, specific events. And journaling, in reality, is recording your history, your story. Gordon MacDonald wrote, in ordering your private world, go to a drugstore and buy a spiral notebook. Plan to write in this book every day, but restrict yourself to one page. Every day when you open to the next blank sheet of paper, write the same word that you wrote the day before. Yesterday. Most of us live unexamined lives. We repeat the same mistakes day after day, month after month, year after year. We don't learn much from the decisions we make, whether good or bad. We don't know why we're here or where we're going, but journaling helps remedy that. Lamentations 3:40 says this, let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. According to emarketingforbusiness.com, there are five values for writing things down. Number one, clarifying your thoughts. When you have to put something in writing, you have to think it through more clearly and more thoughtfully and more intently. Number two, you get momentum. The action of putting your thoughts in writing communicates with your brain that you are serious about this topic and that you will pursue taking action. Number three, you build a habit. By continually putting your thoughts in writing, you create a habit. And most things we do come out of the habit of doing them. This develops a habit of taking action and building momentum. Number four, follow through. You follow through more. You end up following through what you've written. What's worth writing is worth doing. And number five, you lay a strong foundation, right? Writing things down helps you to focus. The more you focus on something and clarify it in your mind, the more likely it is to happen. Journaling is just the first step of slowing down in order to spend quality time with God. It gives the body a brief rest and refocuses the mind. It frees your spirit. In order to do this effectively, you must do it intentionally. Choose a specific time, a quiet place, free from distraction or interruption. I had a friend of mine, what he would do is he would take a candle. He would go, whether it was on a speaking engagement or whatever, he would take a candle, turn the whole lights off in the room that he was in, and he would just light the candle, and then he would just open his word. And he would open his journal, free from any distraction. Find that place that's free of distraction. The second step to slowing down is write out your prayers. This is simply documenting your conversation with God. The Psalms are evidence that even David, a man after God's own heart, practiced this type of praying. In Psalm 51, verses 10 to 11, he says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. It is here that we present our requests and petitions before God. What's neat about documenting your prayers is you can go back through your journal of written prayers and check off the prayer requests as God answers them. Not only will it boost your faith, right? But it will also prove to you that God does care about the specific details of your life. And then you're able even to track how your prayers have changed over time. Right? Instead of, God, I need this, God, I need that, God, it's more of, God, what do you want of me? What do you desire of me? Right? And so when we look back on our times with God, it should provide a ray of sunshine on those dark, stormy days in life. And during this time, pull out your Bible, write down scripture. We should be praying God's word, so why not write it down in your prayers too? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of the Lord is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the two, dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." The benefit of praying the scriptures will actually increase you, your spiritual growth. You will actually learn what God is saying about certain situations. And by praying his word, you will see his results, whether the results is healing, wisdom, knowledge, spiritual insight, salvation, or peace in the midst of a stressful situation. When we pray this way, we are reminded of what God has already promised us, and in turn, allow him to be in control of our lives. Praying God's word means that we are coming into agreement with God, and his power is released to answer our prayers. In John, 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. He hears us. How do we pray God's will if we don't know it? Well, the beauty of writing out our prayers to God and writing out scripture is that we get to learn. Our heart gets more in tune with the things that he cares about. And it might even change our outlook on life. The things that we thought that we'd find contentment with, we start to learn that there's more. As we've already learned the importance of writing things down, you know, we get to learn more of what God is doing in us and through us, and we might be amazed. I love when you're reading through the Bible and you see little phrases that you've never seen before, but you've always read them before. Like last week when the preacher was talking about Psalm 23. You know, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not be in want. And he goes all through how God, he's speaking about God in the third person until he's walking through the shadow of the valley of death. You are with me. You ever notice that? That we all of a sudden speak to him in first person. Why? Because he's no longer far away. He's with us. Step for step for step. I can't wait to preach a sermon on that. So let's quickly review. You've taken time to journal the events of yesterday and you've limited yourself to one page. You've taken time to write out your prayers. Try to also limit that to one page. So on one side, it's yesterday and then it's your prayer. But don't sweat it if you can't stick to one page. I seem to find that my number count, my word count in life isn't all used up, so I use it up in my journal. But you know what? When we become more faithful and diligent in doing this, then I believe that it becomes a habit. My father-in-law always told me that it takes 21 days to create a habit. But here's something, though, is that now that we've written down our prayers, now comes the audible part. Read the prayers that you've written back to God. There's just something about the power of the spoken word. It becomes your confession, your proclamation, your declaration. Whether it is done in a whisper or a full voice, or when it is spoken, you become committed to those words. There is power in the spoken word. But Pastor, isn't this a little redundant? Yeah, it is. It is. So why do it? It's part of the process of slowing down. It's part of the process of slowing down. By the time you've reached this step, your RPMs have reduced dramatically and your spirit is at a calm and steady idle. This allows your soul to be mellow and tender, which sets you up for the final step. And here's the final step. Now you're ready to hear from God, to listen intentionally. Listening intentionally. You're ready for it. You're ready to hear from God. The other two steps is are intentionally preparing you for this moment. And when our prayer time becomes a two-way, this is where our prayer time becomes a two-way conversation. This is what God intended it to be from the first place. This should be the most coveted part of our prayer time. Bypassing this step will rob you of the blessing of what prayer is really all about. It's about hearing from God. When you read in Genesis, right, you get the impression that that Abraham and God walked in the garden together, that they talked in the garden together. We get this. Why? Because God came down just after they sinned and says, Adam, where are you? Where are you? And he says, oh, we were hiding because we felt ashamed, right? You get the impression that there was a relationship, that there was conversations that were happening, that it was a two-way conversation. That's why when I talk to new believers, I say it's like having a conversation with God. In church, we just give it a name. It's called prayer. But it's a conversation. Maybe you've had conversations with people that just like to talk and like the sound of their own voice. Are they fun to visit with? No. No. Or maybe you visit with somebody and you see the wheels turning in them and they're not really hearing you, but what they're doing is thinking of their response to talk back at you. I have to admit, sometimes that's how my brain works. And I'm trying hard to slow down and listen. It's an art. It's a practice. And it doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen overnight. But bypassing this step will rob you of the blessing of what prayer is really all about. It's from hearing from God. In 1 Kings 19, verse 9 to 13, it says this. There he went, this is Elijah, into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord, God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then the voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Two quick things to note here. Elijah was alone in the cave, far and away from commotion and disruption. And God spoke in a gentle whisper. Sometimes in our lives, it takes a cave experience where you're at the lowest moment of your life, and it is in those moments that you can hear clearly from God. It is usually in these moments that we are most tender, humble, and willing to relinquish control to God. And what I find particularly interesting about this passage is that Elijah knew and recognized God's voice. In John 10:27, it says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. What are you willing to do differently in order to hear and recognize God's voice when he speaks to you? Are you needing to change this year? We're so good at making resolutions. I'm going to eat healthy, get more rest, going to read more books. I'm going to, you know, move more and eat less. And we get all these New Year's resolutions, but how many of us sit down and say, God, I want to hear from you. And I'm going to do whatever it takes to hear from you. I I've got this solution. I've got this thought that the solution to all of our problems is very simple. It's very simple. We've just made it very complex. It's very simple. When we quieten ourselves before the Lord, things that really matter are revealed to us. But we're chasing this, and we're chasing that, and we're going this, and we're doing that. But sometimes we forget that we're just to be still and know that He is God, right? What would you be willing to do differently this year to hear and recognize God's voice when He speaks to you? Sometimes we don't hear His voice because we've got too much static noise in our lives that drowns out His voice. When we become intentional about scheduling quality time reserved for just Him, it won't be the matter of hearing Him or not. It'll be the matter of whether we're listening to Him or not, obeying His instruction, following His commands, and walking in His guidance. There may not be a rewind button in life, but I do firmly believe there is a pause button. I do believe that there is a pause button. Are you feeling spiritually dry or spiritually malnourished? I'm going to go on a bit of a limb here and say maybe, just maybe, you haven't discovered the art of slowing down. Isaiah 40, verse 31, I don't have this on the screen. It says this in the New King James, "But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on the wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." When life speeds up, learn the art of slowing down. This is the key ingredient to growing and maturing spiritually. When we become intentional to listening to God, He becomes intentional in speaking to us. Amen? Amen. I'm going to call the worship team up to close in a song, and I'm just going to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this word. I thank You, Lord, that God, sometimes we just need to hear things again. And for slow learners like myself, again and again and again. But Lord, I pray that in 2019, things change. That Lord, as things speed up, that we'll learn the art of slowing down. We'll find those times of controlling our schedules. And Lord, wanting to hear from You, wanting to seek Your face. Lord, I thank You for these prayer times at the Barron's. And I thank You, Lord, for those that are able to show up and receive that blessing. Lord, I pray. I pray for those whose schedules just can't allow for that right now. Lord, I pray that they would find quiet times on their own. Quiet times on their own. Lord, that they would understand that there is something wonderful about corporately meeting for prayer. But Lord, I also believe that there are hidden treasures when we're alone with You. Alone with You. And that our conversation with You should be unceasing, should never end. Lord, that we can talk to You all day long. We don't have to kneel down and bow wherever we are. We can have these conversations with You while we're driving in our vehicle, hopefully with our eyes open. Lord, when we're at home listening to worship music, Lord, that we can have these conversations, that maybe even if we are in our vehicles, to turn the radio off and just have silence. Lord, that we can, that when we lay our heads on our pillows at night, Lord, that the last thing that is being uttered is praise and worship to You. Lord, that we begin our day and end our day with You, so that everything in between can be all Yours. And that, Lord, that You reveal to us what is important, what really matters. So God, we give this to You today in Jesus' name. Amen.